Good evening, Abayisai. Good evening, good evening. I find Tu B'Shvat, there's always two, every year I have two thoughts on Tu B'Shvat. Two thoughts that I have on Tu B'Shvat. One thought is that, what does Tu B'Shvat mean to you? What does it mean, which thought does it trigger? What aspect of it? What is the, any particular... Yes, indeed. I think in Halacha it only says not much more than Madon Setachanon. I think it doesn't say much more than that. Yeah. Yeah. What thoughts did it trigger in your mind?
End of winter?
Yeah. Pardon? Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you two thoughts that I always have every year. It triggers in my mind the idea that it's really interesting that if you look around, you can't see the spring yet. You can't really see much of it yet. But there's obviously something happening deep in the ground. In the depth, in the earth, you can see there's things happening. Something which is not visible to the naked eye. We can't see it. But there's things happening. And when we want, but our Yidden, it's not, we don't look at the outcomes. It's always the root that really counts. It's the shows that really counts. We're working with roots. We're working with the deeper things. Whether it's in chinuch, whether it's in relationships between us and people around us, with us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the depth of the things that really count. We're not looking at the external things that comes later. What we're really working on is the roots of the things. I think that's one thought I always, because you can't really see the spring yet. But I think that's something which Tu B'Shvat, I think really, you'd be wrong to just look at the blossoms and all that, because that's later stages. That's a secondary. And something else as well, which is just the nisim and the flows of the nature. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what's pshat. Does anybody know? I know nothing about the science, but it's always unbelievable. What if you think you put seed in the earth, and how does it know? Which it's in the depth of the. Sometimes they go 3 tefachim deep, and nevertheless they know which direction to grow. I don't know how they know it. The seed. How do they know which direction to grow? Have you ever heard of seed growing downwards? Does that ever happen? What is the gravity? What's that? The gravity?
Yeah, same as a, I can't remember what it's called. In human beings, they have a sense that they can tell which way up they're facing.
Oh, I see. So it's the same thing, really? Okay, good, fine. Okay, so that itself, I suppose, is quite an unbelievable thing. It's quite an unbelievable thing. What's that? Yeah, can you help us out? It's got a name. The fact that it always goes towards the sun. It follows the, what is that because
the roots go upwards to the sun,
right?
The roots go downwards to the sun.
Okay, it's just fascinating. It's almost fascinating. I don't know. Okay, so we just have a so we should absorb its lesson and messages, Be'ezah Hashem. Okay, we are up to Simon Pei Aleph, and we are up to Seif Beis. We spoke about Tzeias Katon on our previous year. We're now ready to move on. The aim to this, we're pretty much towards the, I can't say mamash the end, but we've done the major part of the Netzoya. There is going to be this week, we're going to be learning the fascinating, really the really interesting halachas of the halachas of a Beis HaKiseh. We'll be learning this week in Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to go finally into the details of actually defining and deciding and paskening as to whether our toilets are considered Beis HaKiseh. We know there's many ramifications we've been speaking about for the last months and months. We're going to be talking about the bathroom, now the contemporary bathroom. We're going to be talking about a contemporary toilet. We're going to be talking about those rooms. Are they actually considered a Beis HaKiseh or not? Which got loads and loads of knock-ons. Just one of the many that we've spoken about in the past about washing hands there. Is that okay or not? So there's many halachas we'll be discussing, and we'll be discussing the root indeed. Yeah, the source of it and the reason why the discussion amongst the poskims. That's a very important halacha. We'll be then talking about a bathhouse as well, a mikveh potentially. Can you say Shema in a mikveh? And then we'll be moving on to Mekom HaMotunofos. I hope at the end of the week, the tail end of this week, we'll be talking about dirty places as to whether we can say Shema there. What about if there's a sewage, a pipe, if it doesn't smell? We mentioned this halacha previously. We're going to go into greater detail. And then hopefully we'll be moving on to the very about halachas of a graf shel rei, which is a bet, and we'll talk about that as well a little bit. And then that will lead us to simon pei tes, which I don't think we'll reach this week, but pei tes is the halachas of tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei, which is mamash a new topic altogether, a completely new topic. Really, we should deserve making a siyum, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But certainly, it's a new topic. That's simon pei tes, which is in our edition, it's page kuf yud tes. So you can see we're quite close to that. And that will be then, well, then I've completed all the halachas of Kriyat Shema. Remember, we started with Hilchos Kriyat Shema, but the Zman of Kriyat Shema. Remember, we spoke about interruptions in the middle of Shema. We spoke about Birkas Kriyat Shema. We spoke about Mitzvah Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We spoke about some of the halachas, so that will be, the, then we spoke about Erva, which was a beautiful topic on its own. And then we started speaking about Tzoya. So that will all come to an end in Mitzvah when we reach Simon Pei Tes. Okay. Having said all that, let us move on with Simon Pei Aleph Seif Beis Sori Koire. This is very much a recap of the halachas we've spoken about. I think that we gave more Mishnah books. Is there, I was short of another Mishnah book because we brought some more. I was short. We ran out again. Okay. Did you get, were all three given out? Was it, okay. So I'll get some. Okay. Well, okay. So please can you get it. Seif Beis. Hoya Koire. Somebody was saying, or was reading Shema. Vera tzoya kenegdoi. So somebody was saying Shema. Vera, and he saw tzoya kenegdoi. Tzoya opposite him. He was tzoya opposite him. So he was saying Shema, and there was tzoya opposite him. The halacha is yelech kedei shizrakenu me'achor v'ba'amos, which is another way of just saying that you have to distance yourself dalet amos. And this is very much in line with the halacha we've been speaking about previously, that you need to distance yourself dalet amos. Dalet amos at the very least from tzoya. V'imefsha, what happens if you cannot distance yourself physically 4 amos from the tzoya? Kugoin, such as sheyesh lefonov nohor, there is in front of him a river. Oy dava acher hameakev, or any other, he just can't distance himself more than 4 amos. I mean, imagine like the yin by tzias mitzrayim. There was the yamsuf in the front. It was in the back to a mitzvah, and it was on all directions, he couldn't move. So similarly over here as well, you can't move, there's tzoya behind you, and in front of you there's a river, you can't go into any direction. What are you meant to do then? So the halacha is, v'imefshak, kigon shesh lefon of norit of acham akiv, yeilech, you should go, k'desha nichenu letztodin ha'ba amois, you should go to the side, in a way that you're 4, you should just make sure that you're 4 amas distance. So just push yourself into any direction in order to achieve that you're 4 amas away. And he says, well, you could do yelech kedesha nichenu letztodin ha'ba amos. You could even push it away, and we'll be speaking about that. You push it away 4 amas away from you. You don't have to go further back to enter the place. You don't have to, Chazal didn't want mechayev you to go back. For the Rav Rabbi Yoni, my Rabbi Malkum, she lost his libo sheish from tzoya, tzoich lachso le roish. Even tzoich lachso eden Malkum she pasak. The Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton yud base. Lefonov, he says, umayir shen yoch lachso ponov le mayrev mipnei eizes sibo tilavoch yach ziponov ein mogen avram. The Mishnah Berurah says, this is all very true, but as well as that, there's also the halacha that, yachzeponov, that certainly if you can be machzeponov, that will suffice as well. If you can turn yourself around, that will be good as well, says the Mishnah Berurah. If you can turn yourself around, that will be acceptable as well, and you don't need to come onto the 4 amas. Okay, simon pei beis, din tzoye veisha. This is the halacha Simon Pei Beis, page 228, discussed the halacha of tzoya vesh, of dried tzoya. He comes to a point that tzoya hasn't got the halacha of tzoya anymore. He comes to a point that tzoya is not considered tzoya anymore, when it's completely dried out. That we've spoken about in the past, you have to distance yourself. We've spoken about the halacha, that if there's a smell emerging. Now we're talking about when it's actually not considered tzoya anymore. Shulchan Aruch says, tzoya vesh kol kach, if you've got tzoya that is so dry, Shem is a cannot. This is very no gear if you go on the holidays and you go into the fields. It could be very relevant. You go in the fields and there is cow's mud around and you want to say a brocha. And then sometimes you don't know, is that actually considered tzoya? Yes or no? We've spoken in the past about the halacha that animal tzoya is also considered potentially tzoya. So when it comes to a point that it's not considered tzoya anymore, and that is when it is. Tzoya veisha kol kach, tzoya that is so dry, shem is rekenot is poich, that if you would throw it, it would go into pieces. Harik ya'ofa, it's considered earth. Umuta liko is kenagd in kitzei shema. So if you were to throw that tzoya, it would be break into pieces, then it's considered tzoya veisha, it's not going to be tzoya anymore. V'hu shelo yeh bereacha, but again, this is only if there is no reach ro emerging, there is no smell emerging. V'yesh oimrim, some say, toloyave ka'ofer, it's only considered considered decomposed at a different stage. Rakim nifreches al de gelile beloy zrike v'chein eker. Some say no. The fact that you throw it and it goes into a pieces, that's not considered tzoya veisha. It's only considered tzoya veisha if you would roll it. By rolling it, it would go into pieces. It would crumble by pushing it, not by throwing it. If you were push it and it would go into pieces, it would then it's considered tzoya veisha. But the fact that you throw it and then it goes into pieces, that's not considered tzoya veisha. That's not good enough. Only when you roll it and then it goes automatically into pieces, only that's considered tzoya veisha. Save base. Meiraglaim shenivlu. What about meiraglaim? When is it considered non-urine anymore? Meiraglaim shenivlu bekake. If it's absorbed in the earth, imo you martiv min hayad. If your hand would get wet, also liko is kenegdom, then you cannot say shema. If it is still moist and wet enough that if you touch it, your fingers would get wet, that's still considered meiraglaim. However, if it's absorbed enough that your hands wouldn't get wet by touching it, then if it's not moist anymore, it wouldn't get your hands wet, that's not considered meiraglaim anymore, you can say shema. V'yesh oimu, some say, the ein osrek b'tefiach hamnas la'tfiach v'yesh lismach al zeh. Other poets can say that no, actually, it needs to be so wet that if you touch it, your hand gets so wet that you'd be able to get something else wet. We've spoken about the concept of tefiach. If you touch it enough, it's wet enough that your hands are wet enough now to get something else wet. Does that make sense? Or not really? It has to be wet enough that if you were to touch it with your naked hands, you touch it and now it's wet enough that it can get a third thing wet. Does that make sense? That's considered tefiach zmanat latviach, and only then it's a problem. If it doesn't get your hands wet enough to that degree, it's not considered meiraglaim anymore. Correct. So you're right, but we're talking about meiraglaim, so we're going according to meiraglaim. Okay. Now okay. That's with regards to din tzoya veisha, and I do feel that it's sometimes relevant when you go out in outings and there's mud, there's from the cows and from other animals. You want to know as to whether you make a brocha. So to wrap it up, what do you tie in a rabbi say? I mean, we've spoken about reach ra, yeah. So if they rabbi say, what do you think? If you go out in outing, summer holidays, when is that an issue?
I'm quite sure I want to test it.
Pardon?
I'm not sure I want to test it.
You're not quite sure you want to test it. That's right, yeah. Yeah, good, yeah. Yeah, I think that, well, what do we need to be aware of if we go on an outing?
Can you smell it?
At most, first and foremost, if you can smell it.
If it bothers us.
Very good. Very good. You're both saying what Mamash Mubu says. If you can smell it, it's definitely, you have to investigate. If you can smell something, you have to investigate. And if it is, the smell is repulsive enough that you'd be disturbed by it, that's very much what the Mishnah Berurah's gather was, then you actually can't say a bracha there. By the way, I have checked with the Dayan, actually two Dayanim, the halacha that we asked. We asked last week, how can it be that in previous generations, surely there was plenty of people living in villages, there was horses, donkeys, cows all over the place, so how could they ever make brachas? I mean, it wasn't they didn't live on the same circumstance that we do. Wherever you turned, surely there was animals around. How come? And then the answer given by numerous of the Choshev Balabatim here was, what was your nusach?
The brain kind of cancelled off.
Yeah, You just don't think about it anymore. And this is indeed, did you hear the kasha, the shaila? I mean, it was quite a... So the answer that I heard from two Talmidei Chachamim was that indeed that people were so used to it that it didn't bother them anymore. Very much in line with the Mishnah that we just mentioned now. If something doesn't bother you at all, if you're just so used to it, it doesn't bother you at all, then it doesn't, then it's fine. Then it's fine. So similarly also, that's the rule of thumb, that if it doesn't bother you, then if it doesn't, it's not, it hasn't got a problem with Riyakha. Okay. So, Okay, we are ready for Pei Gimel. Pei Gimel is very much going into the halachas of a place. An interesting shaila, which we're going to be discussing shortly, as we are addressing that, as we're entering the halachas of Beis HaKisse, an interesting shaila. When I moved a little while ago, and the bathroom was remade. It was an old bathroom, a new bathroom was made. And the shaila, what happens, Rabbeisai, if a new bathroom is made, everything is, taken out and it's made new, can you actually say Shema there, brand new bathroom, can you say Shema there or not? Brand new bathroom, it's not dirty. Can you say Shema there or not? I mean, I don't know why a person particularly would want to say Shema there, but say you want to say Shema there or not. So that's the question we're going to be addressing. Let us see. And again, first and foremost, we'll be addressing this is the halachas that are going to be able to help us to paskin with regards to, Rabbi Isai, about saying Shema in front of the door, is there any problems? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Some Gdolim have been reported of making sure not to say Shema outside the bathroom door. Have you heard of such a thing? And if yet, where does that come from? Door. Just the door of the bathroom. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Okay, not saying brochas there. Okay, let's see where that comes from. Tine Beis HaKisse Mekriya Shema. Also, likos keneged Beis HaKisse Yoshon. You are not allowed to say Shema. And again, it's not only Shema. It's referring to all the other brochas. Also, likos keneged Beis HaKisse. You're not allowed to say Shema and any other brochas next to a Beis HaKisse Yoshon, an old Beis HaKisse, used Beis HaKisse. Afilu pinim emenu atzoya, even if the tzoya was removed. Now, of course, what we're referring to over here is in previous generations, they didn't have toilets as we know them nowadays, just to go to the field. And there was places that were designated for Beis HaKisse. And that's what we're referring to over here. So if you've got an area in the field which was a Beis HaKisse, and your person wants to say Shema there, so even if everything was removed, and everything was removed, it was used, but you can't see anything, nothing left anymore. Nevertheless, also likos keneged Beis HaKisse Yoshon, you're not allowed to say Shema in a place where it was used as a Beis HaKisse, even if the tzoya was removed. That is, says Shulchan Aruch, if there was no mechitzes, there was no walls around. But if there were mechitzes, although there is tzoya, says the Shulchan Aruch, this is all if you just went in the field. But what happens if he was surrounded by four walls? Says Shulchan Aruch, actually, if it was four walls around it, there was mechitzes around it, now, and you want to say Shema outside, next to those walls, he said, that's fine. He said, actually, if there was four walls around it, you can actually say Shema, even if you can actually see still the walls, you can see that it's fine, you can say Shema there. Even if not. As long as there is no Reacha. In other words, if there was a Beis HaKisse, which was used as a Beis HaKisse, and of course there was no flushing system, we'll be talking about the flushing system a lot, but if it was just an area which is enclosed by four mechitzes, but there is mechitzes around it, you can say, there's no Reacha emerging, you can say Shema, as long as, even if you can see the walls. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkotna Aleph. Also, likos roitzeloy malefonov kemeloy einov. In the front, you need to distance yourself from kemeloy einov. So, as long as you can see. But achov dalat ames and behind us dalat ames. Vimeishem reacha. And if there is bad odor emerging, tzoich dalat ames, you need dalat ames. Memokim shekol reach, from where the reach, the smell reached. Pinu mimenu. Veisuroi mina toiro. So, Says Mishneh Berurah, if there was a place which was used in the field as a Beis HaKiseh, even if the tzoyah was removed, and you say Shema, it's Issur Midoraisa. The cave on Shizeh HaMokim, since this place, Mikvah Atako Liyos Boitzoyah, there was always tzoyah there, this was a place which was designated as Beis HaKiseh, Ein ze machanach hakodesh, it's not considered machanach hakodesh, and it's issa, it's an issa de reise to say shema there. Al ken in his topic loimu beis hakis yosh and hakodesh, hazin on the chumra, kedin kol tzofik tzorek el tzim in ayin vov. He says you need to just, even if you're in doubt as to whether it's been used as a beis hakis, say, you have to tzofik de reise and you can't say shema. The bir aloche is very busy because it's about the following shayla. Per aloche is talking about the courtyards that were common in those days. I don't exactly have the picture exactly the way it worked, but apparently in the back of people lived, there was a place where they used for Beis HaKiseh. Can you imagine it? And also where they built the sukkahs as well. Habesa, can you help me out? Exactly how do you imagine Radin worked? Or the 1850s, 1900s, how was it, where were the Beis HaKiseh? How was it? In the garden? Back garden? Okay, that's where they would put the sukkahs up as well. Because the Bialoch is all busy, and the Mishnah Berurah is well in the next page, speaks about not putting up the sukkah where the Beis HaKiseh is used. He speaks about, you can't just put up the sukkah if the whole year you're using it as a toilet, and now you want to just clear it up, give it a good wash, and put up the mechitzas there, and put up sukkah there. Are you allowed to do this, yes or no? Can you do that? Pardon? Exactly. He says you can't do it. You're 100% right. You can't do it. It's Sofik Deraisa. At the very least, Sofik Deraisa, you can't. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch said over here. That if it's a Beis HaKiseh, if it's used and it's designated as a Beis HaKiseh, even if you were to remove it all, it's still considered, it's still a lack of V'hoyo Machanech HaKadosh. Very good. Can you be mevatel it? Only if it's completely, by giving it a wash, you cannot be mevatel it. Washing it won't. But only if you refurnish it, you redo it from scratch. And this very much leads us to Siv Beis. And that's the following. His minale Beis HaKiseh, if something was designated as a Beis HaKiseh, v'adayin l'nishtamesh boy, and it was never used, something is designated as a Beis HaKiseh, and it was never used as a Beis HaKiseh. Muta likro is kenegdoi. You're allowed to say opposite it, you're allowed to say Shema, and any other brachas, havaloi b'soyuch b'not in it. Right, and that really leads us to the former shayla that I mentioned. Rabbi, somebody who has a brand new bathroom, tiles are new, you know what, the new toilet, everything is brand new, and now he says, you know what, I'm so excited about this new bathroom, I want to say Shema here, you know, I don't want to say Kapitel Tehillim there, I'm so grateful, I just can't help myself from thanking Hashem for this brand new beautiful bathroom. It's mamash beautiful. Are you allowed to say a Kapitel Tehillim in a brand new bathroom? Yes or no? No. Why not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's been designated, but not used, you're allowed to.
But not inside it.
Though. But not connected. Not inside it. Very good. Correct. Very good. What about, what do you, Taina? Pardon?
It wouldn't be an
Issa de Raisa
inside.
It probably not an Issa de Raisa, but touching on the Rabbanon. Yeah. Yeah. Now, halach l'mod yutana.
I can't remember. It's the second
paragraph
of second Mishnah
Shabbos,
whether or not a Yichud is...
Hazmona Milza, Yichud, yet. Very good. That's what Mama should talk about that. Yeah. So the Maisa, I think you're definitely right, but I do want to mention over here, which I think on practical terms, it's going to be impossible to do so. And I will tell you why. It's if got involved, second white line, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'adayin lo'i, aval im nishtamish ba'afilu pam achas, tu yeish olof, shem beis hakiseh yoshen, l'chol dino, kiven do'yo sham azmona v'maisa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if it's only used once, then it's considered a Beis HaKiseh Yoshan, which is a very, very important halacha. If it's been used once, then it's not anymore about discussion of designated, not designated. Once the toilet has been used once, it's definitely a lack of Mechanech HaKadosh. Halacha Lemaisa, if you had builders, I don't think that there's any way you could assume that it's never been used. No, I think that there's no, it's, there's a, at the very least, there's a suffix, probably more than a suffix, it's probably been used. So I don't think it's even a chitimtza of just having an azmana without azmana of a maisa. And I think that therefore there's no way you can actually go into a brand new bathroom and even connect doi, I don't think you'll be able to actually say a kapitel tehillim. You have to assume that it's been used before, unless you had some sort of CCTV or something, which is unlikely. But so Aloch Lamaisa, I think that the Mishneh Berurah is very important, and I think it's important to all the other areas as well. Now, as long as when you use once, it's already considered a problem. It's already considered a problem, it's considered a Beis HaKis Yoshon. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight, Beis HaShem Yisbarach Shemoy, we moved on straight away from Tzeias Koton, which we discussed on Thursday, and we said that if there's Tzeias Connect, you have to, again, distance yourself 4 Amos at the very least, and even if there is, and at the very least, you should turn away if there's mamash, not all the choice, but definitely we always go with 4 amas. We then spoke about Din Tzoye Veisha, which tells us there's a machloikas, when is actually considered, when is it considered decomposed, when is it considered Din Tzoye Veisha, Shulchan Aruch holds, if you throw and it goes into pieces, it's considered Din Tzoye Veisha, be able to say Shema. The Ramah says, it's a different stage. It's only when if you roll it, it goes into pieces. That's when it's considered Tzoye Veisha. The Shulchan Aruch then moves on and said, and Ramos says that's the Iker. Shulchan Aruch in Zif Beis tells us that with regards to Meiraglaim, it's if it's Nivlu Bekarka, if your hand would get wet by touching it, it's considered, if the hand doesn't get wet anymore, it's considered Yevesha, doesn't have a din miraglaim anymore. The Ramah says a different mahalach, and he says that if only if your hand gets terfeach, unless le atpiach. Otherwise, it's not considered miraglaim anymore. We then moved on to din beis akisei with an opening shulchan aruch, which tells us that even a beis akisei yoshon, even if it was removed, all the dirt was removed, it's still an issa deraisa to say Shema there. It may appear clean to us, but it's still an issa deraisa to say Shema there because the Beis HaKisei Yoshon. The Shulchan Aruch does say, however, if it's got mechitzas, then halacha is different. This was all we have to feel. If it's got mechitzas, then it's fine as long as there's no smell emerging. And then we spoke about the halacha of Izmino, if something was hazmana, if something was designated as a Beis HaKisei, but it's never been used, then in there you're not allowed to say Shema. Right next to it, you can. And what we did point out, very important, Mishneh Berurah says, if it's been used once, then it's already considered Beis HaKisei Yoshon, and then certainly it's an issur d'oraisa to use it. I will move on with those very interesting halachos tomorrow, mitzvah Hashem.